Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Promised Land, a show all about Manchester United. I'm part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined as ever by football journalist and United season ticket holder Rob Blanchett. You can subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts on Apple, Google, Spotify, etc., etc. And now you can watch us twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays as Manchester United's season toils to an end. So head over to our YouTube channel, hit the like button, subscribe and join the community. Leave a comment as well. And the link should be in the description of this episode. If you're listening on audio, Rob, another defeat then. Although the sun is shining, spring, summer is in the air. So it's not all bad, but the football is awful, right?
Indeed. But, you know, as you said, spring, new beginnings. And this is, I think, where we are with Manchester United. As I said a few weeks ago, you know, I don't feel too low about everything to do with United, simply because change is here. So we can look forward. We can be blue sky rather than actually thinking about how terrible this season has been. And a transition, I think, from the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer era to the Erik ten Hag one is almost complete. Ajax's season is nearly over. And that means we're going to have a new manager who is super elite and super motivated.
Yes, indeed. A reminder, you can follow Rob and I on Twitter, @_ScottSaunders for me, @_Rob_B for Rob, and @PromiseLandMU for the show. We will talk all about United for the most part, I would imagine, quite negative-ish, reflecting on the actual matches that are going on at the moment. But as Rob says there, it's about looking forward now. There's, I think United have, what, 4 games left with Chelsea on Thursday. There's Brentford, Brighton and Crystal Palace left of this season, I think. And then we can finally put this season behind us, put it to bed. Ajax finished their season on May the 15th, if I got that correct, and are still 4 points clear in the Eredivisie title race after a late win for Ten Hag's team at the weekend. Brian Brobbey scoring after about 88 minutes, I think. And Rob said off air just now, ooh, very United, very old school United. So, you know, don't give up till the end. We'll see if Ten Hag can instill some kind of mentality like that in this United team that he takes over. And we'll talk about that today. How is the project going to take shape under the Dutchman? We'll address Paul Mitchell because there's loads of social media noise around him. We'll talk about Ralf Rangnick and some transfer plans for Ten Hag, I'm guessing, because there has been suggestions that there's a massive 150 million budget or 100 million. I saw 20 or 50 million going around a few weeks ago. Yeah, the number, just pluck it out of the air, guys. Just pluck it out.
Transfer
the air.
Roulette. 600 million today. Wheel. That's what I'm doing. For me, you know, exclusive here on the Promised Land, £600 million budget. No sources, of course, for that. That is just because I looked at the bank account. So there we go.
600 million to spend on 10 players or 3 players or however.
One player, £600 million player.
Let's re-sign Paul Pogba when he joins Juventus or something. Indeed. Like that. We'll talk about Paul Pogba as well today because I think there's a conversation there to be had. He's pretty much ruled out for at least until the last game of the season, I would imagine. But I doubt we'll see him in that either. But Rob and I don't think the chapter's fully written yet. So we'll get into that and we'll reflect on his career if he does end up leaving. We'll also talk about the Chelsea game on Thursday. Bit of Harry Maguire chat, bit of Pau Torres chat and all that kind of stuff too. But let's get into it then because United lost to Arsenal at the weekend 3-1. Harry was there. I saw him, saw a picture of him. He's the producer. I saw him in the crowd going like this. For me, that's me shaking my fist if you're listening to us, not watching. And there was a comparison between Harry's professional life, you know, Mike at the Emirates talking about the game and him celebrating in the crowd. This is not an Arsenal podcast. We'll be reflecting on United and what needs to kind of happen to them in the next few weeks and months under Erik ten Hag. But this season is a massive write-off and that weekend performance was another reason to confirm it, I'm guessing. So, Ten Hag's in or will be in. And there's a lot of discussion really about his backroom team. Will Steve McLaren come in? Will Mitchell van der Gaag come in? You know, kind of expecting that to happen, I'm guessing. The coaching team will probably have a bit of a facelift as well. I think Chris Armas is probably going to go to Leeds, the way that it looks. And there'll probably be a little bit of a reshuffle maybe above him as well with the Paul Mitchell speculation. So let's roll it all into one conversation and talk about the off-pitch stuff first, Rob, and then we'll come to the players after this. So how is this project going to take shape with Erik ten Hag?
Well, I think the good thing, first and foremost, and that this is the bit I think we do know, is that this will be shaped by Erik ten Hag. So this isn't the same as I think in previous years where managers have come in, been given certain amounts of powers, certain amounts of their ear being listened to kind of shape things. This is going to be about what Erik ten Hag wants. So this is where the negotiations really met their kind of crossroads. Of course, we've got to the point now, haven't we, where Pochettino is about to leave PSG and would have been available on the market. Manchester United wouldn't have had to have paid any kind of money to him or to PSG to be able to get him out of a contract. And they went with ten Hag. They went with him early because I think they believe him. So this is a really, really important part of the story, is that United have cleared out the scouting network at Old Trafford. They are already clearing the decks for this man. And we're at a point now where we're going to see the backroom hired. So you've just spoken about a couple of names there who I think will both be at Manchester United very, very soon. Steve McLaren has been contacted, but again, there's no deal at the moment between with him. And I do think that Steve McLaren is an obvious marker for Ten Hag to come to a football club, someone who knows what the culture of winning at Manchester United is like, but is that unfortunately not particularly popular in the British press. You know, the United fans that I know have spoken to already have gone, Steve McLaren, is this the future? But Steve McLaren is a very, very acute coach. I believe that. So he'd be part of the story there in the back room. But it's exciting. I think this is a part now where we can look progressively at people who can come to Man United and actually help this team. Like you just said, the Arsenal performance, there was little bits of the performance where you go, they're not that bad. You know, you look at you lot when you run around. You actually can do some stuff. Oh, look what you do when the ball's at your feet and you string together four passes. But what's the problem? Problem is they don't do it consistently. So Erik ten Hag's job, in simple terms, will be to get this playing squad to do the simple things. And they don't do it very well. In the same way, let's say City do it brilliantly, Liverpool do it brilliantly, even teams like Wolves do it pretty well. So why can you not do it? And I believe that this squad, even with, you know, a big facelift, some additional players and some people leaving, you could play good football very, very quickly.
Yeah. Now, I've been quite critical of the players. I think there are a lot of players that do end up, that do need to go. I think you've kind of got to turn the chapter, turn the page on them. But we are looking at a team of players with no confidence, who are feeling sorry for themselves, who are literally probably worse than they've ever played in their careers, collectively as well as individually. So there's any even minor increase that Ten Hag can get out of them will probably be quite noticeable, I would imagine. But we'll see how his team looks moving forward. That'll be high on the agenda as soon as he takes over, I would think. But we'll talk about that in a little while in terms of the personnel that we might see on the pitch. But we talked about his potential assistants, that there'll be changes to the coaching staff and this kind of thing as well. Let's just talk about Ralf Rangnick first, Rob, because I wanted to bring him up because his press conferences are getting a little bit more free. You know,
truth serum. He's taking some truth serum on it.
Yeah, he is. And I feel like he wants to say more. I feel like he's told these players more than he's telling us as well. Yeah. And I feel like the players don't like it. That's why you're seeing so many leaks. Jesse Lingard, like Paul Scholes really sold Jesse Lingard down the river at the weekend, didn't he? With like, he won't mind this at all, but it's a disaster in there. He won't mind me saying that, you know. We are looking at a dressing room that is kind of broken, but Rangnick's had to go in there and tell some home truths, and I'm sure the players don't like it. They've had their ego stroked for a number of years now. They've paid massive amounts of money, and you know, I think they don't really like getting poked in that way. But Rangnick's come in, and I feel like this is absolutely, completely necessary. And I think with the Ten Hag appointment, John Murta's leaned on him heavily. I know that like this was disputed in the past, and Rangnick wasn't actually a part of the process, but he actually admitted last week that Rangnick gave his opinion on Erik ten Hag and said he would be a good appointment and a good fit. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's probably strengthened Ranić's case in the fact that Erik ten Hag has actually taken the job now. What do you think will happen with Ranić now? Because obviously his role beyond this season is still up in the air, although he will be a consultant in a sense. But do you think there's a case growing for him to be more involved than that?
There's a case growing, and I think there is actually a kind of populist vibe amongst United fans that they would like to see Ranić move full-time to a role behind the scenes. So there's no doubt that Manchester United on a football pitch in the last few weeks have been awful. So Ranić has to carry some of that. But I think us who know the game and watch the game and watch this team know that this is a historical issue. This is not about Ralph Ranić. So you're right. Ralph, I think, is starting to hint a little bit more. And he was quite direct in his last presser, where he said, I would like to be involved with Manchester United, like more directly than just a consultant. And as you said, he spoke about Erik ten Hag in glowing terms. And this is now about building an infrastructure above the manager that can help him, get the transfer targets, that can help the style of football and philosophy to be implemented, and people to actually have responsibility, Scott. Because this is an issue we've had in years gone by, where the board make decisions, but they are faceless. There's no one to take responsibility. They just make choices, sign a check, and it all happens. That can't happen anymore. United need to be a little bit more open. So I think Ralph Ranić, I think he will stay. I think that's the vibe we're getting now. It's a sense that if him and Ten Hag can chat to each other and find common goals, that Ralph Ranić as an experienced head will be needed and wanted at Manchester United. You know, he's already under contract, so there's not really an issue there. You know, it's not like it's just a case of giving him the correct title. And we do also know that John Murtough does want more support around him as a director of football. So you can't really get better, I think, in class. And Ralph Ranić, someone who's built football clubs, his Red Bull CV is amazing. People say, oh, he didn't win anything with the Red Bull clubs. It's not what it's about. It's about building, scouting networks.
Could win something in the next few weeks. They're in the Europa League semi-finals.
This is it. And I think the thing is, again, that football fans get excited by all things that are shiny and excite them, yeah? Sometimes it's not about that. It's about infrastructure, hard work, all the stuff you don't see. That's what makes great football clubs. That's why City are great. That's why Liverpool are great, because it's about infrastructure. It's not just about Mane and Salah and De Bruyne, is it? It's not about just that. It's about what comes first. So Man United need to do it in the right order. And I think Ralph Ranić is definitely part of that.
Yeah, and it was quite encouraging at the weekend. I'm actually enjoying Ralph's press conferences and his press hits more than the matches at the moment, obviously.
Yeah. Because,
you know, at least he's telling the truth. And he said at one point, I am paraphrasing it, but he said, it's simple, really. We know what's wrong. It's a big job. It's open heart surgery. Or he said something along these lines. But at least we know what it is. And I know how to fix it. He was kind of alluding to that. Whereas, you know, for years, fans have been able to point out what the problem is, but United have never actually shown any willingness to fix it because they want to buy these shiny, expensive players and that kind
of
thing. Totally, yeah. And I think that... a question for you here. Like, Richard Arnold has... It's been reported widely, I think, that Richard Arnold wants to hand over the football processes to John Murtough. And I think that you're looking at John Murtough here. He's been at United for a while, but I think he's been leaning heavily on Ranić. And if Murtough can be seen as the one to fix this problem, whether it's actually him doing it himself or whether he's putting the right people in the right places to actually sort it out, like Ranić, and maybe Paul Mitchell, we'll talk about him in a minute. But that's going to reflect brilliantly on him. Do you think that, like, it's as simple as that, and now it's on Murtough to construct that team around him?
Well, that's definitely the mandate. So the mandate is, you know, what's changed from now to what's been going on with the mess over the last few years? Well, the first big change, of course, is Ed Woodward has gone. So Ed Woodward was effectively punished by the Glazers for what happened with the European Super League. That was a good excuse for them to move him on. He resigned, of course. But that was a big change to go from him to Arnold. Now, Richard Arnold is very similar to his mate, because they are mates, Ed Woodward. But he knows that it hasn't worked and he doesn't want to be associated with that. So they need change. So the change comes, as you said, in the form of Murtough. Murtough was given that role. Darren Fletcher in a more kind of advisory assistant role, a connection between the squad and the board. And what was the next step? Well, the next step, of course, is hiring a manager that does those things. So I think when you're starting to look at the infrastructure of Murto, I know people don't want to talk about Darren Fletcher, but he's in the mix there. You need someone else who's experienced as an administrator and someone as an executive. And that's Ralph Rangnick. So Ralph Rangnick can do those things. He can come in straight away and be an advisory to the board, but have authority because he's worked with the squad. He's worked with them for 5 months and he's gone, well, that youngster's good. You know, Anthony Elanga, someone like that. He's done really well for me. But, oh, Marcus Rashford hasn't. So things like that mean a lot to the board because I think Murto needed that insider information on his own team. Because I think with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they left a lot of that man management to Ole and the team. And the bit they missed out on was the tactics. So the team kind of collapsed around that. And then the club went, oh, we're not as tactically good as Liverpool. Why is that? Well, it's because they've got Jurgen Klopp. You know, so it's things like that, that football fans might be able to put together in a pub very quickly. But boards sometimes takes months and years to solve. So I think that Murto is a football guy. You know, he came from Everton and, you know, he's got that grassroots experience. I think he totally understands that a club needs building from the bottom up. But at the same time, the top end of the structure has to support the middle and the bottom. So I think this is why Rangnick is more likely that he'll stay. And if he doesn't stay, then of course, there are other people on the market like Paul Mitchell who could help the football club.
Do you think there's a way for both of them to be part of this structure? Because obviously we've seen, well, everyone's seen the Paul Mitchell speculation over the last few days. I think there's probably something to it. But I really think that I think there's interest from United there. I think there's interest from certain people within United there, like a Rangnick and maybe a Ten Hag. And then there's other people in there who are maybe not so, that don't fancy it that much. But I am seeing Rangnick kind of winning his little battles progressively. And I'm kind of thinking that there might be a way in, but I don't think, Rob, that there's any real structure or base to this at the moment. I think it's gone a lot further social media chat-wise than it's actually progressed in reality. And there isn't really a position for Mitchell as it stands in this structure, is there? So what needs to happen for him to come in?
Okay, I think where it stands with Paul Mitchell, when you kind of look at some of the facts and some of the bits that we do know, Paul Mitchell is a Mancunian. So he would love to come back to Manchester, there's no doubt about that. Currently at Monaco about to go through a major restructure, and it's been known for a while that Paul Mitchell will not be part of that restructure. So he is looking for a job. His representatives are looking for opportunities. So I think this might be why you're hearing a bit of noise about Paul Mitchell to Man United. But as you just said there, there isn't a position at the moment. So I think it's more that Rangnick's got one foot in the door and Rangnick and Paul Mitchell are very close. They're friends away from football. They've worked together, obviously, at Red Bull. And I think that they would like to collaborate at Manchester United, but it would mean that Murto would have to restructure a lot of that football operation. So you could bring in one of them as a head of recruitment, or say you could bring in Paul Mitchell as a new head of recruitment because United don't have that at the top level, and have Rangnick still as a consultant. You could do that, couldn't you? And that kind of makes a robust structure upstairs. And that would work out, I think, in the current climate. But you then have to say that Paul Mitchell would be coming in blind. You know, like he would obviously speak to Rangnick, and you then lose him Rangnick's dressing room influence. So Rangnick's been there, seen it. You don't want him to fly off to the other side of the world to go and do another job somewhere, which is what he could do as a consultant. You want him at the club. So I think that there is more to come with the Paul Mitchell story, because I think it's more to do with what happens at Monaco now. I'm sure he would love to come back to the UK. You know, he's worked everywhere. He's got such a huge reputation. And in fact, his reputation goes before him. You know, he's another guy. He's kind of faceless. Like Paul Mitchell walked past you in the street, you wouldn't know him. You really wouldn't. And he's got this reputation of being able to build football clubs. He's really, really good spell at Tottenham Hotspur. And I think the Pochettino thing is also crucial. That when United were dangling the carrot of Pochettino in the last few weeks and months, there was this kind of idea that maybe those two could be reunited at Manchester United. That's now not going to happen, is it? So I think the Rangnick is more akin to Ten Hag rather than Paul Mitchell. But of course, if Paul Mitchell can help, especially the way that he recruits, you know, he's got a stellar recruitment record. You know, like he discovered Son coming out of Bayer Leverkusen. People were like, well, why are you signing him for Tottenham? You know, he was like, that guy could do it in the Premier League, where most clubs were looking at him going, no chance. So you need someone like that, I think, as a salient brain. And yeah, having two or three would be good, wouldn't it, Scott, when you haven't even had one in recent times? But I think at the moment that there is no position there, and Manchester United are not speaking to Paul Mitchell as it stands.
Yeah, it would be nice to see, as you mentioned there, you know, going from literally zero football acumen at the top to, you know, having too many people for it who kind of fit that real profile. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens with Paul Mitchell. I don't think it's completely baseless, but no. I think it's probably advanced a little bit more than we, you know, I think fans are getting a little bit carried away with it in comparison to what's actually happening at the moment. But, you know, United do need this, do need to address this. And it does seem like over the next few weeks that things will clear up a little bit. I think Ranić's role will be really key to this, but I think he really needs to speak to Ten Hag to, you know, get an understanding for each other and this kind of thing. There was a report at the weekend as well, I don't know if you saw this, that Ranić was compiling a dossier on every single player and his thoughts on them to pass over to Ten Hag. Any thoughts, Rob?
It's my understanding that Erik ten Hag and Ralph Rennick have already spoken. I know Ralph said in presses we haven't spoken, because that's what you're supposed to say, but we've heard that they have spoken. So, you know, this is a whole thing again about Erik ten Hag doing no Manchester United things while he's at Ajax. You know, this is again the smoke screen of, well, they've got to win a title, but Erik ten Hag's not thinking about Man United. I think he is. So this is kind of where we stand. So a lot of that stuff will play out like the pantomime of Manchester United in the media, because that's what it is. But there's no doubt that Ralph Rangnick and Erik ten Hag will be talking a whole lot in the next few weeks and have been speaking already. So, you know, I think, again, that Rangnick does the whole statesman thing really well. You know, he doesn't push the boat, but he gets his point across, doesn't he? Kind of reminds me of Arsene Wenger at his peak. You know, like, he can talk around the subject technically, but he doesn't have to kill everyone with a shotgun. He doesn't have to murder people. He just needs to put his point across and then kind of tell you he's going to fix it. And I like that. You know, I think that's how he's looked at this squad. And he's not called out individuals, has he? But what he's done is he's gone, we're awful and it needs to be fixed. And when he said, yeah, you need new players, he's not gone, yeah, we need two or three or four. No, he's gone, yeah, you need 10. I like that. You know, that's what you need. You need someone upstairs who's going to put that pressure on the money men at Manchester United and say to the accountants that run the football club, look, this is your football club. If you don't put the money in, then you're going to be six forever and maybe below. But if you want to catch Liverpool, you want to catch City, you can do it. I'll just make a little analogy here, because people can probably see on YouTube that I'm wearing a Boston Celtics shirt. I'm a Boston Celtics fan. Yeah, at Christmas, the Boston Celtics, who are a huge franchise in America, like Manchester United, maybe similar level, were awful. The worst team you could watch. They were terrible. And what happened? They made some changes and they sorted it out. And now they're really, really good. It shows that in 6 months, you can go from being really bad, put the right people in charge, and become good. Now, the project's much longer than that at Manchester United, but you can do it. And I think this is where Ralph Rangnick and Ten Hag and even Paul Mitchell to an extent can be part of this story, because you've got to get the right players in. And we're going to be talking about that a whole lot going forward, because there will be a lot of change at Manchester United, just even in the next few weeks before pre-season starts.
Yeah, Ralph did actually say they would take two or three transfer windows, or maybe, yeah. I know he said last week that they were 6 years behind Liverpool, but Liverpool are literally... have been really good for 4 years.
But he did also say, he did say it's not like six transfer windows. Like people were saying, like, we've all said this is a long build. We understand it. It's not going to take, it's not, you know, there's no magic
for it
formula
to be
here.
Absolutely perfect. Then yes.
Yeah. You know? And he was like, no, you know, you can change stuff in 2 to 3 windows as long as you get rid of players and bring in the players that do the work. And that's really what this is about, isn't it? Like, get rid of the joggers, Scott. The people that at Arsenal were kind of going, well, I'm here, aren't I? I'm turning up for my wage, and have done it all season long. Get rid of them and bring in players that will die for the shirt. You know, players that will come in and go to the fans. You know what? I really appreciate being at Manchester United. It's one of the biggest clubs in the world, and this is my dream. I'm going to put it on the line every week, because that's what we haven't got, isn't it, Scott? In terms of the playing staff. So, and I think Rangnick understands that, and I think Rangnick will strategize with Ten Hag if he stays at the club to find those types of players.
Did you see the clip of Nemanja Matic on the bench the other day?
What was he going?
he was channeling his inner Mourinho, and
he was. Oh, he's getting a bit of
banter.
He's Mourinho's boy anyway, so he's it's all there. He's still connected. Probably got Mourinho on his phone down here. Mourinho's probably going, tell him you got three titles.
You got three.
Yeah. But that was actually quite funny because
it was funny.
I agreed with Nemanja with it, because this is the thing. Like, it's not like all the problems at Man United are not about Nemanja Matic, are they? You know, I think he can leave the football club with his head held high. He does what he does. You know, he's never going to take you further on. He's older. It's the end of his career, really, or the bottom end of his career. And he's been a good servant for Man United. But also, he is part of the reason of things that are wrong at United, about relying maybe on players that are not on that first contract. You know, Ralph Rangnick talked about extensively about finding younger players, younger talent, who want it and are on that first deal, and they want to earn the second deal. And that's where United, I think, needs to now push the market towards.
Yeah, I did quite enjoy that. But Nemanja Matic will be one of six players, maybe more than two, six players most likely to leave on free transfers. There will be other departures as well. So I did want to talk about the players, Rob, because United have been interested in Pau Torres from Villarreal for a long time. Last summer, it looked like they might get him before they ended up biting on Rafa Varane when he became available.
Yeah.
But I think there's solid interest there in Pau Torres. And obviously there's a question around Harry Maguire. We'll talk about him in a second.
Yeah.
Jurrien Timber's also been linked. You know, United also need a midfielder or two. Striker's been talked about as well. Perhaps we won't get all 10 players that Ralph Rangnick was talking about in his press conference last week. Although we do think that will be an inclusion of youth players as well, as we mentioned on the last show. But let's talk about players who aren't out of contract that could leave. And like, let's look at Harry Maguire to start with, because he was dropped for the Arsenal game. Mm. Is it a realistic possibility that he leaves, or is this something that United can't rid themselves of? Can they improve him? Can they fix him?
Well, there was a big chat on social media, wasn't there, about the toxic dressing room, you know, about who were the toxic players. And it was kind of put forward that Harry Maguire was one of them. We can categorically say he isn't. He's not one of them, you know. He's got to be kind of the most moderate, I think, out of all of the players.
He just looks like a lovely lad who's having a hard time.
And the people I know that know him say he's a lovely lad. Yeah. He's a really nice lad, but maybe that's part of the problem. You know, maybe you need someone who's a bit of a son of a you-know-what in there to do these kind of dirtier jobs. So I think with Harry Maguire, there's no doubt that the last 12 months from Maguire have been a complete failure, 100%. But when you go to the start of, or say the start of this campaign off the back of the Euros, he'd had a really good Euros of England. United had finished the season strongly, and he was starting to look like a captain. But I do think that it depends what you want to do, isn't it, Scott, with the progressive style of football. We know what Ten Hag does and what he wants to do. And ironically, Maguire does kind of fit that. You know, Maguire could be a ball player playing deep from that centre-back position. But Man United are looking at defenders. So as you just mentioned there, they're still looking at Pau Torres, very much so. You know, I think a very affordable option, a lot of upside. I think him and Varane would be a good partnership. But you're also talking there about Timber, and I think he's a guy that Ten Hag would love to bring with him. Multifaceted,
can
do different things.
Back as well, which is
and I was
important.
Just about to say, exactly, gives you coverage at right back. And I think that's the big upside with Timber. And a lot of development still to come. You know, like he wouldn't be coming in as the finished article. So you could probably get them both at a good price. You were just saying there about the amount of players incoming and outgoing. And it's very true. Like, part of that will be about the youth system. Garnacho, as we've talked about extensively, Hannibal, they'll all be part of it. But do you know what? You could go out and get a Christian Eriksen for free. You know, so there are players out there that, again, Man United fans are not massively hot on, because they obviously want stars. They want to talk about stars. But you've also got to talk about realism and talk about real money. And someone like Eriksen, who's done really, really well at Brentford, could come in as part of your squad system. And that's how you fix these bits, Scott. Get yourself different types of talent that can do different things and then mesh together as one team. And that's the same for all sports teams. You know what I mean? It's not just football. You need different types of players to do the work. So someone like Eriksen, I think, is someone you're going to hear a lot more linked to Man United, because United are thinking about him. That's something we've heard about. And Erik ten Hag, we do know, likes him.
Yes, indeed. I mean, there's other noise about somebody like, I'm thinking Boubacar Kamara, who's out of contract at Marseille. Another player that would be relatively inexpensive. He's out of contract, be relatively inexpensive to bring in on a wage, who would fit a gap at centre-back and in defensive midfield as well, because he can play both positions. You know, how many other players, Rob, do you think United will be able to shift on? Because I'm thinking, I'm looking at Eric Bailly, who Ranić actually criticised in his press conference for something he put on Instagram the other day. I thought it was quite funny, but he is right. It's you shouldn't be seeing that happen from a player, where he kind of said, play me alongside Varane. He was like, yes, please.
Yeah.
So there's him, there's United willing to sell Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Victor Lindelof could be sold for the right offer. You got other players in there as well. I'm starting to forget about them now. Alex Telles is probably another one. And there's other players all across the squad. How much money do you think they can raise? Or how many players do you think they'll end up selling alongside the players that leave for free?
Then they're going to get nowhere near in sales what they need to buy. But it's about clearing the wage bill. So this is, again, something that I've talked about extensively, because all of these players, even at the bottom end of the Man United food chain, are on stupid wages. And you've got to get them off, because it doesn't help you to have someone sat on your bench every week that earns 100 to 150 grand a week, but like might get you two goals. Think about the Cavani deal as well. You know, the amount of what they gave Edinson Cavani, and then they bought Ronaldo, and then Ronaldo's on 50 million. And then you had Cavani's wage in there as well, of around kind of whatever it is, 20 odd. And you think to yourself, what is the 70 million on two geriatric players? Yes, they can help you, but they're not going to push you towards being the elite team you want to be. So if you clear out the squad in the correct fashion, you can do that. I think this summer you're going to see 10 leave. I think that is it. I don't think you could bring 10 in, but you could go and look at the Ericsson market, like we said there, or as you just said there, any player that is a free market agent now, you can go there and say, yes, we'll give you a two-year contract. Yes, you fit our wage structure. Yes, we'll give it a go, because you might not get it right first time, Scott. You might just be able to bring in players that give you an immediate uplift, or give your structure of your squad something more, because Man United haven't got that at the moment. You know, then you're going to have someone like Donny van de Beek return to the squad. There's no doubt he will play under Erik ten Hag under some capacity. You know, he will be included. But then you will have players leaving. You know, we talked about Jesse Lingard will leave the football club, undoubtedly. And I think there's more likely the top end. Marcus Rashford has offers abroad, and I think that he will be looking at those offers. And anyone could leave. You just said that Eric Bailly. It's kind of funny, isn't it? It kind of did the prey emoji, you know, kind of pick me in the team. If I'm the manager of that club and a player does that to me, they've gone. Mm-hmm. Gone. You just don't do it. You know, keep it in the dressing room. And if you don't want to keep it in the dressing room and you're going to do stuff like that on social media, you are gone. So I don't think Eric Bailly will be at Man United next year. I don't think he's good enough. I think that's the main reason. I think that's the big overruling kind of encompassing criticism of Eric Bailly. You're just not good enough. Sorry, goodbye. But there's a lot of United players like that. I think Aaron Wan-Bissaka might well be moved on as well. They might try and recoup some money there. But we talked at the start there about the captain. I think that his place at United is at risk. If United could get 40 or 50 million for him, which still sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, is it?
Well, no, you say that, but there's no... If Newcastle are looking for an England centre-back and they're going into a World Cup period where their owners will want to make a splash in Qatar simply because of the Middle East region, what do? You go and buy England players. It happens. That's what they do. So Maguire going to Newcastle is not something that I think, you know, might not happen. I think Dean Henderson going to Newcastle again is that kind of player. Jesse Lingard to Newcastle. Newcastle could just buy everyone, couldn't they? Just buy all Man United reserves, just take them away and the captain. Yeah. But that could happen. I do think with him that it depends about how he starts in pre-season, because I think that is important. I think if he has a good pre-season under the new manager, he won't be shown the door, because he's still an experienced pro. And let's be honest, not everything at Man United is Harry Maguire's fault. You know, he's a scapegoat. And yes,
Rob. Yeah, but
he's played awfully. His form's awful. But you can say that for all of them, every one of them. Not one of them has really hit their marks this year. Cristiano scored a ton of goals this year. His form overall for the campaign has not been great. It hasn't. You know, there's been plenty of games where he stood on the halfway line, hands on hips like this, being Ronaldo. So United, there's not one player I think that can go to Erik ten Hag and say, I was great last year. Maybe David De Gea, that will be it, and no one else.
We'll talk about David De Gea, I'm sure, in a future episode. We don't really have enough time today. But although I'm just reading something from the Daily Mirror, which says that video calls will happen between Ten Hag and every United player in the next 3 weeks or so. So that will be interesting. And that brings me on nicely to... I wanted to reflect on Paul Pogba's career at United because he's injured. United have about a 15-day gap between their penultimate game and their last game. Maybe we'll see him there, but I don't think that will happen. As it stands at the moment, nothing is confirmed, but it does look like Pogba will leave for free. And whether Ten Hag will have a conversation with him, whether Pogba's actually decided on that, and or whether Ten Hag could convince him to U-turn and that, you know, be a part of his project remains to be seen. I think it's unlikely, but I'm not saying it's impossible. I did want to reflect on his career, Rob, because I tweeted the other day that it's the club's fault, not his, really. Now, I'm not entirely saying that Pogba isn't without any blame at all for his part in this 6 years that he's had at United and failing to get the best out of himself. But we spent so long criticising United for buying expensive players on massive wages who are commercially massive prospects who can get trending on Twitter or can sell shirts or all this kind of stuff. And Pogba was probably the first one, I think, to... He was the symbol of that era, right? Which I think it started after Ferguson left and Ed Woodward loved that profile of player, talked about how players need to be in Ballon d'Or top lists and that kind of stuff. I don't think it's Pogba's fault. He's spoken about in a recent interview how he never knew what his role was at United. Yeah. And people are desperate to pin all of the blame on him. But my question would be to you, what are you expecting him to do? Because he's played at 6, he's played at 8, he's played at 10, he's played left wing, he played up front a few weeks ago. What Pogba's never had that consistent, defined role where he said, this is your job, go and do it. He's been asked to score goals, to assist, to tackle, to do everything, to cover every blade of grass like Roy Keane would have or like Brian Robson would have. And ultimately, people have pinned the blame on him. And I think it's really misguided to pin the blame on him. He's the fall guy. He's the long-term fall guy. Harry Maguire's the fall guy now, but Paul Pogba's had it in his neck for 6 years or so.
Paul Pogba's had it in his neck since the day he left for Juventus. So this is how far this goes back. You know, when Paul Pogba couldn't get in Fergie's team and Fergie played a midfielder, Ji-Sung Park and Raphael one week and put Paul Pogba on the bench as a kid, people were like, what's going on here? Why is Pogba not playing? And Pogba looked at that and went, I'm leaving. And people have held it against him ever since. So there is that. So I think with Paul Pogba, you know, what is he going to do? And is it his fault? There's no doubt that I think every individual player has to take their own form into account. It's on their neck. They carry all of that. And I think Paul Pogba would be the first one to say to you, I have not played to the levels that maybe I wanted to play at Man United over that period. And you've got to remember that when he came to the football club under Mourinho, as you said, it was this big restructuring and this kind of Galactico leaning towards finding players that can do all of that commercial work. And I know for a fact Paul Pogba knows that, but it doesn't help players when they feel like they're a commodity. So there are players that have come to Man United in the last 10 years and they have been brought to the football club by Ed Woodward because they're a commercial commodity. That does not help your football form. So Paul Pogba has known this. Now, he's kind of comfortable with it in one sense because he does all the Instagram stuff and the social stuff and Adidas, and he'll do all of that posturing because it's his job, part of it. But at the same time, there's not been a holistic feeling around the Man United squad. And I think that's been a bigger problem than Paul Pogba's individual form. So what will Paul Pogba do now? I still think there's a tiny chance he'll stay. A tiny chance. Because all we can go by is the information that we know. And we know that a year ago, he told Manchester United, if we can agree a contract, I'll stay. That's what he said a year ago. Now, that's a long time ago. A lot's happened since then. But there isn't a lot of takers for Paul Pogba in Europe simply because of the kind of deal that he will command. Because he is a commodity. So if he goes to Real Madrid, he will still be a big commercial commodity. If he goes back to Juventus, he becomes a big commercial commodity. So that comes with a value. But it's about Paul Pogba, the footballer. Can Paul Pogba win at Man United under Erik ten Hag? Now, as a football analyst and as a football fan, my straight up opinion on that is yes, I do think so. So all of these things are on the table still. I think it's more likely that Pogba will leave. You know, if he gets the offer that he wants from a big club who can win and can put him as part of their jigsaw puzzle, then maybe it's time for him to go. But he's been ridiculously blamed for everything, isn't it? It's like, you know, the air smells at Old Trafford, it's Paul Pogba's fault. Oh, it's raining at Carrington, it's Paul Pogba's fault. Oh, Man United haven't done this week, it's Paul Pogba's fault. And you know what? A lot of that comes from the fans. So I'm turning that back on the United supporter base, because you've bought into that narrative and you've played it yourselves. So let's not just blame players all the time. It is up to them to play well. But I don't think Paul Pogba, you know, is, you know, just singing a tune at Man United and doesn't want to win and doesn't want to help Man United. I really think he does. I truly believe that, that if the situation and conditions were right at Man United, we would see a better Paul Pogba. So fingers crossed, you know, because I think that with this rebuild that we're doing, we're talking about 10 going out, you could do with keeping Paul Pogba. You really, really could, a player of his type, and add players around him to make him better and make them better. Paul Pogba is not a toxic voice in the dressing room. He's actually one of the more quiet guys. And I don't think, again, it's more about the fans, isn't it, Scott? Like, if he signed a contract tomorrow, would it be met with, you know, happiness from Man United fans? You tell me. I think the answer to that would be no. There'd be a ton of United fans going absolutely apoplectic.
Yeah, he obviously got the brunt of some, you know, criticism at Old Trafford a few weeks ago. I put a tweet out on it on Friday, Saturday, I think it was, and the replies were split. I think it went quite big, but the replies were split. Yeah, people do blame everything at his feet. It's just it's unfortunate. Yeah. It's not worked out well. He
got booed
and
he played well. He got booed, taken off, and he played all right. Like, it wasn't, you know, so this is the thing. I know people say, oh, no, it's a longer-term thing, and people are thinking about the last 6 years. You don't boo someone for 6 years of football. It's ridiculous. So I think with Paul Pogba, maybe the love affair for him with Man United is about to end, because he has always talked about that, about how he feels about United. But there's certainly not, it's not reciprocated with the fans. And I think that might be one of the real telling factors in the next few weeks.
Yes, we'll see what happens with him. I do still expect him to leave, but I mean, for me, he's a victim of the commercial strategy, the transfer strategy that United have employed over the last 6 to 9 years or whatever. And he is the unfortunate fall guy. He was the main statement. He was the first statement of that strategy. And that has kind of followed him around the entire time. United have been criticized massively for buying expensive players and just fitting them in without any real plan. And everybody recognizes that. So why are we looking at Paul Pogba and pinning the blame on him for not being able to do it all? Like, it doesn't really make sense to me. If you're going to blame the club for getting things wrong, it's not Pogba's fault. It's the club's fault.
And
he's not completely,
you know what?
Blameless.
No. But he's still here at the moment as we're talking. And you know what? He could have left ages ago. He could have gone, I'm done with this. But he stuck with it. You know, when Romelu Lukaku wasn't getting picked and Ole was saying, can you run the channel? Romelu Lukaku got upset, you know, boo-hoo-hoo, threw his toys at the pram and we had to sell him. So, like, you know, Paul Pogba hasn't ever done that. Paul Pogba still worked really hard behind the scenes. And that's why I've stuck with Pogba. You know, I've been critical of him at times on the pitch and said, yeah, he you know, needs to play better. He needs to do this, that and the other. But you know what, Scott? I don't expect Paul Pogba to do what Fred does. I don't expect him to be running around and doing slide tackles and all of that stuff. It's not part of his makeup. You know, we don't expect Luka Modric to do that, do we? So I make those comparisons because I think when you have flair players, that you want them to do flair things. And Paul Pogba is a flair player, but yet we look at him because he's a big guy and a big unit and is pretty quick across the ground when he needs to be. We look at him as something else. And I think that is also part of the problem.
He's never had Casemiro behind him, has he? Like, I'm not saying he's completely blameless.
Totally.
He has said some stuff, and he hasn't always performed to his very best. He has said some stuff that might have rubbed people up the wrong way. But at the end of the day, you need to zoom out and look at what United are getting criticised for now and what they're trying to fix, and then apply that to Pogba and realise that, oh, actually, yeah, we should probably look at the club here, not the player. Anyway, Pogba will not feature against Chelsea on Thursday at Old Trafford. We're going to have to we ran a bit long today, Rob. There's been a lot of topic points to cover. We'll talk about Chelsea briefly because they play at Old Trafford on Thursday night. United are in danger of qualifying for the Conference League.
Yay.
So how important is this to win? Because West Ham lost at Chelsea the other day. Wolves lost to Burnley the other day. And I was kind of hoping that they could, like, you know, jog on ahead, take some wins and put United into eighth as they lost their last four games or failed to win any of them. But it's looking like with West Ham in Europe and they've got a difficult fixture list that United might have to come sixth. Although I'm not entirely sure how it works. If West Ham win the Europa League, do United drop it in the Conference?
Yes,
League,
they do. Yeah, they do. They drop it. West Ham win it, and it changes.
Is that the case, or do they'll
be going to the Champions League. West Ham would go into the Champions League, wouldn't they, as winners of the Europa League? Are they in the Conference? Hang on, I'm trying to think. They're in the Europa League, aren't they?
If West Ham comes seventh, if Liverpool, Chelsea win the FA Cup, we are completely. We're not talking from a point of like authority here. We're trying to work this out ourselves as we record.
There are definitely scenarios. Yeah,
there are scenarios where United could qualify for the Conference League. I do not want that to happen. It might happen, but can you see any? Like, there was a little bit of a revival the other day against Arsenal, though United did end up losing. Can you see any improvements for the rest of the season?
Can you see improvements? Let's take the Arsenal game just as an example. Ten Hag coming into the football club, that you would expect maybe one or two to pick their performances up. And again, I think against Arsenal, we saw it in spells. Is that enough to go and win your last four games? Probably not, especially when you look at the opposition. But I think, for me, I would much rather Man United come eighth now and just have a clean slate next year and not have these trips abroad. The Conference League and the Europa League are the most punishing tournaments going. United fans, again, and I think this is a global thing where United fans go, well, no, I still want to watch United in Europe. I want to see United play European games. But you know, if you want to build a proper team, you can really do without that competition. So for me, if you don't get fourth, get eighth and be happy with it. Because it means nothing next year, does it? It doesn't mean next year you're kind of like, oh, you're less of a team because you're not in the Europa. You know, it's one of those competitions where you're going to see a lot of rotation. I think Ten Hag would use the tournament to blood players more. But as a fan who goes to Old Trafford every week, I don't want to go and see it. I really don't. I'm not interested. I always say about the Europa League, I don't look at it until the last four. Literally, you know, like all of the games before that does not interest me. And it interests Man United. Why? Because they want to make money out of tickets and commercialism. What would they do, Scott? They put Europa League kit out, Europa League jacket. Come and buy this at the Megastore for $129.99. You know, that's kind of why they want to do those things. As a football fan, not interested in it. And I think the players as well would appreciate being with Ten Hag on a training pitch and playing one game a week in the Premier League. That would be bliss for a year.
Yeah, there's not going to be that much of a chance for, well, Ten Hag comes in, let's say the players come back after an elongated international break at the end of the season. I think England have four games, and I think a lot of teams have four games in the Nations League to encounter after the season finishes.
Yeah.
So then that's what, 2 weeks off or something like that, two, three weeks, and then United are going on pre-season tour.
Yeah.
So there's not going to be a lot of time, A, for the players to rest, and B, for Ten Hag to start his training session. So coming eighth and having a bit of time to work on systems and that kind of stuff will be really beneficial.
And I think the good thing is that the stigma will not be attached at all to Ten Hag next year. So Man United coming eighth this year, yes, people will take pot shots at Ranić and people will blame Ole until they're blue in the face, etc., etc. But Ten Hag could go into the campaign next year completely with a fresh set of eyes on everything and feel okay about that and not have anyone say, well, that was your fault. Because that's the problem, isn't it? It's a bit like Arsenal with Arteta. You can look back to last year or, you know, if you don't qualify for something and say, well, you were there, so that's your fault. You can't do that with Ten Hag. And I think he needs it, Scott. I think he needs a clear run at this where he can build a Premier League squad that is suitable for the top four. And I don't think they're that far from that objective. already. You just need to get
that far. They're still
no.
There's
this
only
is
at the
thing.
Weekend that they were out of the race. Now
you are
and
garbage.
You've got Arsenal who are on the up. Tottenham who are insanely good, and Man United who are at their very worst level ever, and they only now just missed top four.
You are garbage, and if you'd been just a tiny bit better, you'd be top four. Be done already. You'd be in the top four. You know, you look at Chelsea and how they've performed over this season. They're champions of the known universe, Chelsea. Yeah, champions of Europe as well. And they're not that good. You can catch them. So I think Ten Hag will look at the United project positively because of that. I think he'll go, well, I'm going to get rid of some players, but I'll bring some players in. But the gap between eighth and fourth is almost like zero. It's not a lot in it. And it means you can go into the next campaign. You've got huge advantage and a lot of muscle to go and get top four in your first season. If you're not in the Europa League, that would be a big advantage to Man United.
You look at all United have lost to Watford 4-1. They failed to win at Burnley. There's all these different teams that United were just really poor against that they failed to win. United have not won 19 out of 34 games this season.
Yeah, I worked out that United have thrown away 14 points this year. Like actually in games where you could go and just win it simply and it's normal. Kind of, I went through the fixture list and did some maths and looked at old stats. And I think they're thrown away around 14, which means they would probably be third now, comfortably, you know, above Chelsea. So that's on United, isn't it? That's on the team. That's on the playing squad. That's on Ole. That's on the past last 12 months. But it does mean that Ranić can look forward, Ten Hag in this case. And if Ranić stays at the football club, that they can look forward to building a team that can be top four next year and then start to compete.
You'll be at Chelsea on Thursday, do you think?
I will be there, yes. I've been thinking about not going because I don't want to watch this lot, Scott, being completely honest, as a football fan. You know, as a journalist, I go for work and those things are set in stone. I have to do certain things at Old Trafford. But when I'm going as a fan, and I will be going for the Chelsea game as a fan, do I really want to watch this lot? I watch Bruno Fernandes. He really frustrates me at the moment. Every game I watch, and he just gestures and rolls around and moans and cries and all of this. And I'm just like, get off the pitch. Now, that's just Bruno, but it counts for all of them. It really does. There's not one of them that I gravitate towards as a fan. And this is why I'm looking forward. You know, this is why I feel the blue skies, because I think new manager, he will get rid of this culture at Man United and invent something that's a much more robust and much more nicer to watch as a football supporter.
Yes, indeed. We'll see what happens with the Chelsea game on Thursday. Rob, we've been chatting for a long time, with 51, 52 minutes in nearly. So we better wrap up there anyway. We'll be back on Friday after the Chelsea game. We'll see what kind of performance United put in and maybe reflect on that a little bit. They then play Brentford on Monday night. So there'll be a few days break between matches and maybe we'll see some advancements off the pitch, whether that be for transfer targets or backroom staff or people upstairs. You can subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, Google, Spotify and the likes. And you can watch us twice a week, as I mentioned, on Tuesdays and Fridays. So head over to our YouTube channel, hit the like button, comment, subscribe and join the community. And the link should be in the description of this episode if you're listening on audio. And just another reminder, you can follow us on Twitter too. My at is @_ScottSaunders. @_Rob_B for Rob and @PromiseLandMU for the show. Thank you very much for listening, everyone, and we'll see you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.